Well, say after wishing everyone Boker Tov. What do we know so far? Just want a very quick 5-minute recap, a summary of what we know. Well, at least I know so far about Bali Chaim. There seem to be two approaches. One approach, L'chumra, all animals under all circumstances are Mukta. In fact, the Or Zoruah quotes the Rosh as saying that a Bal Chai is not a Kli, certainly not an Ochel when it's alive, and therefore it's Muktzah. The other approach says that every Bal Chai has to be judged unto itself, or unto herself, we'll call it. So for example, we have a Shita of the Or Zoruah that if you have let me just read to you his language, you have ophos, birds, shemeshorim, singing birds, kolam yofen, you have parakeets and so forth. He says that those birds are ogdim l'shimush, and they're not mukta. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in the Shmirat Shabbat Kilchot as expanding based on this Or Zoruah to a case of an aquarium. Fish in a bowl that are beautiful, and you might move them from place to place, linoi. You want to enhance your living room, your dining room, your salon, your lounge, whatever it might be. We have then a Tosfos on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis in Masechta Shabbos in the name of Rabbeinu Yosef, who says that an Afroa Chai, a small little chick, a baby chick, is nosin osolis sachei bo esatinok. You have a tinok bocha, a crying baby, and you give it over to the tinok, and it puts the tinok into a good mood as the tinok strokes the little chick. And therefore, we have something that's omid l'shimush. And in addition to that, we have the opinion of the Taz. Well, it's not the opinion of the Taz. The Taz claims it's a Tosofer, but in the name of the Marshal, in Chuvus Marshal, the Marshal seems to assume that any animal that you can have any benefit over, for example, you have small animals that you feed to larger animals, and so forth and so on, all those animals, because they're Omed L'Shimush, are not Mukta. So perhaps we can say the following, that one school of thought is, we'll call it the low plug banner. You know, they wave the banner of low plug, Bali Chaim on Mukta, they're not a Kli, they're not Ochlim, straight across the board. You might find, you know, exceptional cases, but low plug. And therefore, the Rosh is not going to accept the opinion of the Or Zoruah, that in the case of singing birds, nightingales, and the such, it's not Mukta. He's going to say low plug. Would low plug extend even as far as dogim are concerned? Fish? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I think, might be vacillating on that point, back and forth. But the other school of thought says, let's see each case unto itself. And there could be animals that even while they're alive, they are omeid l'shimush, and therefore they're not booked. That's more or less where we were holding at the end of last week. What I'd like to pick up this time is a Gemara in Chulin. To appreciate this Gemara in Chulin, we're going to have to supplement it with a couple of sugyas in Beitza. The case in Chulin on Daf Yudalid is Hashochet B'Shabbos. What we're interested is in the statement of Rav Huna quoted here at the beginning of the sugya in Chulin to the effect that this Mishnah of Hashochet B'Shabbos is only interested in the kashrus of the animal. Is the meat kosher? Can we recognize the Shechita? Tosfos elaborates on this in the very beginning of the sugya. Perhaps the Hashochet B'Shabbos is a mumar, and the Shechita of a mumar is not kosher. Maybe only becomes a mumar after the Shechita, so forth and so on. So the Mishnah establishes, says Rav Huna, that the meat is kosher. It was shechted on Shabbos, the meat is kosher. But, nevertheless, and this he quotes in the name of Rav, the meat is forbidden on Shabbos. It's kosher meat, you can eat it after Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. And why not? So the Gemara accuses Rav of interpreting this Mishnah of Hashochet B'Shabbos in the light of the Shita Rabbi Yehuda. And there's a whole sugya that ensues here, which we're not going to study today, but just want to get the ratio of the sugya. Which Rav Yehuda is this? You know, when you tell me, yeah, Mishnah's like Rav Yehuda, which statement of Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda's many different statements. And the Gemara attributes it from the beginning to the sugya of Muktzah. That Rav Yehuda is the one who holds in the Mishnah at the very end of Masechta Shabbos, that if you have an animal that dies on Shabbos, you're not allowed to feed, when I say it died without Shechita, you're not allowed to feed the Nevela to animals, to dogs in this case. Okay? This has nothing to do with Parshas Bo, which I'd like to discuss with you tomorrow if anyone's available. Like Kel Tashlichno, so, you know, the mitzvah of giving, or at least the kiyum of mitzvah, some sort of giving the vela to a kelev in response to the merit that the kelev had at the time of Makas Bechoros, because since lo yechatz kelev l'shon, and there's a lot to talk about in terms of the, I don't know if any of you like dogs, I'm not a particular lover of dogs, but if you like dogs, you want to come to my chumash class tomorrow. We have a lot of nice things to say about the dogs. But be that as it may, so the question is, Rabbi Yehuda says that if an animal dies on Shabbos, he cannot feed the nevela to a dog. And why not? Because it's Muktzah. Now, when we say that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita in Muktzah, that the nevela is Eino Mukhan L'Klavim, what does that imply? As soon as you hear a quote that this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and that's why we're answering it, by implication, we know that what? Rabbi Shimon Levi Matan. So we begin to wonder why Rav Shimon would be Martin. Now let's break this down into two categories. Category number one is the case of an animal that died on Shabbos, and can you feed the meat to the dogs? That's one Rav Shimon that we have to study, and that's at the end of Masechta Shabbos. Then we have Rav Shimon here, by implication at least, in Masechta Chulin, in the case where the animal was shechted on Shabbos, and here we want to know if the meat is permissible to whom?
For the dog.
No, oh, again, we're talking about the meat that was shechted on Shabbos. So the meat is kosher meat.
Oh, we said
so now we're feeding the meat to whom?
Oh,
to a human being. And the Gemara thinks that by telling me that this meat is prohibited and relying and standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda in Muktzah in the case of an animal that died on Shabbos, and can I feed the nevela, the meat, to a kelev? So again, we have two cases, and don't confuse them. The Gemara is obviously postulating an analogy and a connection between the two cases. But we have the case number one of an animal that died on Shabbos. That's the mission at the end of Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Nun Vav. Can I feed the nevela to a dog? And we have the case here in Chulin Yudalid of an animal that was shechted on Shabbos, and can the meat be eaten, since it's kosher, by human beings? It fits the human consumption. Good? So now, let's try to analyze this. Because if you're talking about feeding the dogs, so we'll soon see that the Gemara at the end of Masechta Shabbos says that depends upon another issue, which is called Muchan Li Adam, Muchan Li Klavim, or Eino Muchan Li Klavim. Which means, if you have meat that's fit for human consumption, would you designate it for animal consumption? So Rabbi Yehuda might take the opinion that, look, when we're dealing with Muktzah and you want to know what a person thinks of, well, wouldn't it be more logical that if he had those two possibilities, he would designate the food for whom?
Humans.
For humans. And that's called Mucham L'Klavim. Excuse me. Mucham L'Adam, Eino Mucham L'Klavim. Rav Osai, that shouldn't surprise us at all, because Eino Mucham L'Klavim is exactly Rabbi Yehuda Shita on target. It's, I have to tell you, it's the only thing in the sugya that I'm absolutely comfortable with. From now on, you know, it's pure madness. But this part, at least, you know, let's enjoy what we do understand. Take, for example, the case of Rabbi Yehuda that we discussed at great length, Tavra de Iska. Tavra de Iska means, I've got dates that are designated for market. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if I decide to eat from those dates on Shabbos, I cannot do so because of Muktzah. They were designated for something else. You have something that's designated for human consumption, why would you think that there's any hachana for the animals? Ask me the next question. So why would Rav Shimon be matir and say mucha liadam, mucha leklav, if I could decide to feed it to the animals? Mitch, what's Rav Shimon shita? Because there's no mukta. Rav Shimon less lay mukta. Rav Shimon holds that if I take into consideration anything that I can benefit from it, as long as it's omeg l'shimush, it's not mukta. Good. But then we get to the case of shchita. Here we got problems. Because bishlam, according to Yehuda, I understand very well a live animal, even though you can shecht it, if it gets slaughtered on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda is certainly going to tell you that the meat is mukta. And I understand Rav very well. We're going to have problems with Rav Shimon in a minute. But why does Rav Shimon fit like a glove? Why does Rav Yehuda, fit like a glove? That if I slaughter an animal on Shabbos, I cannot eat its meat, it's mukta. I didn't prepare it. I never prepared it. In fact, there's not even a possibility of preparing it, because what is one of the 39 malachs of Shabbos that certainly prevents me from shechting the animal? Netilas neshama. So I don't even have a feasibility of shechting the animal.
Good.
But Rav Shimon is going to allow me to eat the meat on Shabbos. Good. I can go halfway with this. If I want to go as far as, well, Rav Shimon less lay muktzah, that's okay. But I still have a problem. Quote me three cases, okay? I'm testing you on the keys here, because based on what we learned. Who can give me three cases in which Rav Shimon says that even though I, Rav Shimon, represent the expanded liberal view of mukha, nevertheless, I can't. Okay, let's think about Grogas and Tzimukim. I know that that's your first case, and I'm glad you said it. But Grogas and Tzimukim may or may not help me here. It may confuse me, so I want to leave out Grogas and Tzimukim.
Nashadalik.
Nashadalik, I want. Okay, let's see what else. Give me two more cases. Sukkah Hanofeles. Okay, I'd say Sukkah. And Bechor, when the Chacham decided that it's got a Baal Mum Kavu, that's got a Mum Kavu. Okay, let's go through these three cases. Again, this is a great Chazor for me, and I hope for you as well. There are three cases in which David, the Gemara says, what? What are our two magic words to explain Rav Shimon? Yosheim U'Metzapher. Case number one is the case of Ner Shadolik B'Shabbos. What kind of how much is the volume of Shemin in the Ner? What can I already anticipate? It's going to go out midway through Shabbos as opposed to Kos Vashishas. So Rav Shimon says, since I anticipate from the get-go that it's going to go out in the middle of Shabbos, it's no longer mukta when the candle is extinguished on Shabbos. It means we have a halfway mukta according to Rav Shimon. It's going to be mukta until the point that the candle is extinguished. From then on, I was Yoshev from Mitzapen. And therefore, Rav Shimon allows for a hachana, which will be effectuated midway through Shabbos. He does the same thing in Sukkah. In Sukkah, you have atzei Sukkah that are designated as part of a Sukkah, hooked to mitzvaso, hooked to lisuro, whatever you want, it's there, and then it falls on Shabbos. Some great wind comes, a gust of wind, unanticipated, unpredictable, and it blows down the Sukkah. Says Rav Shimon, are you a Yoshev from Mitzapeh? And the Gemara answers in Beit Zah, no, it depends. If it's a sukkah bria, it's a healthy sukkah, you're not Yotzei Mitzapeh. Rav Shimon agrees that the wood is booked. If, on the other hand, it was a sukkah ru'uah, and you expect huff and puff, and it's going to fall down, therefore, it's just like the case of Ner Shadolik Yer Yoshev U'Mitzapeh. Case number three, if you have a bechor with a Baal Mum, and you know up front that the bechor has a mum, and the question is whether or not this mum is a mum over, a mum eno over, says Rav Shimon, in that case it might be Yoshev Metzapah. But if you have a normal case, we don't know, A, whether the mum is over or eno over, B, you don't know if you can get a chacham to paskin on this mum, and number three, you don't even know what he's going to paskin. There's a whole chain of spakas, you're not Yoshev Metzapah, the bechor is muktzah. So Rav Shimon agrees in three cases that if you're lacking the condition of Yoshev Mitzapeh, then it's mukta. Now, Mitch mentions that favorite case of Grogas and Sibukim. There we have a different combination of factors. According to Rashi, at least, Hatzin the Timra, Rashi says it's got to be Eino Roy, and it's got to be the Chiyuv Yadayim, and that's a whole different parasha. Maybe we'll come back to that a little bit later on. So now Tosfos asks the kasha, and we could have anticipated this kasha. This is Tosfos here, Chulon Daf Yudalid. How could the Gemara imply that if you shechted an animal on Shabbos, the meat, according to Reb Shimon, again by implication, the meat is mutter? What happened to mutter? You can tell me according to Reb Shimon, unless they mutter. But Reb Shimon requires what condition? What are the chances, Ribbono Shel Olam, that this animal is going to be shechted on Shabbos? True. I'll give you a bunch of scenarios in which there is a possibility that you may decide to shecht an animal on Shabbos. What would be the most dramatic case for both sides on a positive side, you know, with someone who's doing a mitzvah by shechting on Shabbos? For a okay. So on both sides, when was the last time, Mitch, you're in a medical field, right? When was the last time you saw an animal shechted on Shabbos for the sake of l'chol l'sheish bo sakon? Never saw it. So it's not exactly the
common... the time of bloodletting.
Right. Another possibility would be that maybe we shechted an animal on Shabbos because we forgot it was Shabbos. But on both sides, why does that shogeg situation, by definition, undermine our concept of Yoshev Mitzapah? Anybody hear my question?
Okay. It's best you're going to be shogeg and be a figure.
Yeah, you can't tell me you're a Yoshev Mitzapah for a shogeg. That's a joke. That's a contradiction in terms. Shogeg, by definition, is the opposite of Yoshev Mitzapah. And then I give you a third possibility, which I think is the weakest of them all. And that is that you have a cheresh shota v'katan floating around, dying to do shechita. You know, they're learning shechita, this little 12-year-old boy, and he's running around with his chalif knife, and guess what?
And there's some goat watching.
And there's a goat watching, because he didn't go all the way up. And that's what Tosfos says. Says Tosfos, this sugya, that by implication permits the meat of an animal to be eaten by a human being on Shabbos because it was shechted on Shabbos, according to Reb Shimon, is talking about a case of Yoshev
Mitzapah.
This means he's got a cotton, a cheresh cotton floating around in his backyard, waiting to take the chalif in the presence of a gadol and shecht the animal. And you know, Rabosai, it hurts me because, give it a break. I mean, is there any footnote somewhere in the sugya, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, that would indicate this? And therefore, I find this very, very difficult. Rabosai, at this point, we want to take a break from Masechta Chulin and open up a sugya in Masechta Beitza. The sugya appears actually in two places. It appears in Masechta Beitza and in Masechta Shabbos. So let's take a look on Daf Vav Amid Beis in Masechta Beitza. And there the Gemara says, let me just put this down here if you don't mind. The Gemara here speaks about the case of an Ephrach. And the Gemara establishes that this Ephrach, let's see the language of the Gemara if we can find it. Muchan li Adam, on the top line of Vav Amid Beis, Lo havi muchan liklov. The Gemara is going to quote the Mishnah at the end of Shabbos of Rabbi Yehuda about feeding the veil of an animal died on Shabbos to a dog, and Rabbi Yehuda prohibits it. And the Gemara says the reason for that is because muchan liadam lo havi muchan liklov. Isnan mechachin es adlum lefnei behema ves adveil lefnei achlovim. Rabbi Yehuda omer im ohois in the veil of Shabbos asu v'sheinam muchan einam inam muchan. Muchan leklovim havi muchan liadam lefi she'einam minam muchan. Muchan leklovim havi muchan liadam. So the other way around, if you had prepared something for klovim, then included in that achan is the possibility of feeding it to a human being. But the other way around, that it was fit and designated for human consumption, it's not fit for animals. Olayin muchan liadam lavi muchan leklovim. Demay dechazi leila inish. Right? It's fit for me. Lo shani leklovim. Why should I throw it to the dogs? But muchan leklavim, ami muchan leyodim, if I designate it for the animals, the daito leinish, I call me to the chazli, whatever I need it for. Rabosa, the implication here of this sugya, as Tosis points out, is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you cannot feed the nevela, the meat, the carcass of this dead animal that died on Shabbos to a dog, because it was mukhan li'adam. Doesn't that tell you something? Again, we're in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference about the animal. What was the animal itself designated for? It was mukhan li'adam. You're telling me the following, that Rabbi Yehuda says he can't feed it to a dog because it's mukhan li'adam. What do you mean it's mukhan li'adam? A live animal entering into Shabbos is mukhan li'adam? What are you going to shecht it on Shabbos? What's going on? That's the sugya in base of Daf Vav Amud Beis. And then we look at Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis. I'm going to have to borrow someone's Masechta Shabbos here just for a minute. And Tosfos says, I've got three answers to this question. Okay? This is Tosfos. What's the Dibra Maschil? Vahamar Av Yochan, correct? Is that the toast I asked you to look at? Okay. Rabbi Yehuda, sorry. Yeah, this is also very relevant toast, but we didn't get up to that yet. Tema. He says, I don't understand. Muchan li'adam, lo avi muchan l'klavim, li'olam muchan li'adam, avi muchan l'klavim. Let me play the devil's advocate. If it had been, muchan li'adam, it would be muchan l'klavim. And Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot commit Rabbi Yehuda to say muchan li'adam, lo avi muchan l'klavim. Hacha, haydu time with that. See, you'll clove him. Mishum David Mukta Machmas Isur. Velo Haisar Uyali Adam. Again, there are a lot of Girsa problems here with Tosis, but basically, what Tosis is arguing is that how does the Gemara know that if you prepare something for human consumption, then it's Mukta Lekelev? This thing is not the case that Rabbi Yehuda is addressing, where the animal drops dead on Shabbos, is not a case of Mukha Liadam. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would admit that had it been Mukha Liadam, then it would be Mukha Leklavim. How does Gemara twist Rabbi Yehuda's arm and force him into this position that Mukha Liadam, Lavi Mukha Liadam, Libbehema? And Tosis offers three different approaches. You know, if anybody wants to hand in their quiz tests, and I'll look over their answers. I wanted you to summarize in writing the three different approaches of Tosis. Let's see. The first approach of Tosis is that of the Re. The second one is that of the Rivam, and the third one is that of Rabbeinu Parat. Okay. So let's first fast forward to the middle answer, the second answer, that of the Rivam, which is the simplest answer. In a sense, he just simply changes the gears. One little change in the girsa, which again violates a sugya at the beginning of Beitza, but that's a different problem. But that answers all our problems, because instead of talking about Shabbos, let's talk about Yontif. Why is an animal muchan li'adam on Yontif? Because you can shecht on Yontif. Right. Hey, who's the last time you saw shechit on Yontif? Don't all raise the hands at once. It's almost it's almost like not in vogue anymore, but you're allowed to shecht on Yontif. Okay? Yeah. Okay, again, there's a minor problem with the Rivam, and then it's against the sugya at the beginning of Beitza. It's a small problem, but the Achronim are going to have a lot of fun here trying to reconcile that. The more challenging answers, though, and somewhat more complex, are those of the Re and Rabbeinu Parat. Rabbeinu Parat, I think, is again a little bit easier than the Re, so we're going to change the order here. That's the last Teretz of Tosfos. He says, "Mi Mishnah Yisera Kadayik." Now, this is no logical derivation that leads us to that conclusion. We cannot establish logically that Rabbi Yehuda is maintaining Muchan li'adam, lo avi Muchan l'behema. But rather, it's a textual div. If we're very meticulous about reading the words of the Mishnah, then we can come to that conclusion. Why? The Havile Lemisne im Lo Haisen Avail Me'er Shabbos Asura. The Mishnah is very, very abridged. Every word has to be justified. If not, if there are abundant, if there's redundancy, extra words, we get very nervous and we have to dash in every single word in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah could have just said simply, again, this is the Mishnah here at the end of Shabbos, it could have just simply said, Im lo haysad avelam Erev Shabbos, so the animal hadn't died on Erev Shabbos, in which case it would be Mukhan for Adam and Mukhan of the Hema, I mean, again. Havi leila misne, fine. Instead, it says, Lefisha eina minha Mukhan. Those four words, those are extra. Lefisha eina minha Mukhan. Why does it add those words, that explanation of eina minha Mukhan? Tosa says, Dafilu avi muchan liodam legamre. Even if theoretically you would come up with a scenario in which the animal going into Shabbos as a live animal was muchan liodam, nevertheless it would not be considered muchan, meaning for the purpose that you want to feed the animal. And then we have the first teretzitosis, which is the re. And he says the following: that there are certain creatures that live on this earth that are roi, are fit from the get-go, even if they're alive, going into Shabbos, to be fed to animals. Meaning animals don't have a prohibition of Eivor Min HaChai. So you can feed a live animal to another animal. Now, why would you do such a thing? So he says the following: you have some small animals, for example, little birds, and you want to feed them to larger animals, like dogs and so forth and so on. And the dogs will pounce upon this. I mean, you can give many cases. For example, if you have your own pet lion, how many people here have... No, never mind. But if you know, you could really give live animals to bigger animals. And he says, in that scenario, you have something that's muchan leklovim entering into Shabbos. Why? Because even though it's alive, you would find no problem feeding it to dogs. But the answer is you don't want to feed it to your dog. Why not? Because after Shabbos, you're going to shecht it. And you're going to use it for your Thanksgiving turkey dinner. So why should you feed it to a dog? Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. Come on, what do they do in England? They must have something where they eat turkey. I don't know. Turkey's like an American kind of thing. No, it's okay. What?
You don't mention it.
No, okay.
You drink tea.
All right. So basically what the Mishnah is talking about is a case where the animal is fit and designated as we enter into Shabbos, even in its live state, to be fed to a dog. No, so why can't I feed it to a dog when it drops dead? The answer is because my real true intention, Rabbi Yehuda argues, was to wait until after Shabbos shechted and eat it on my table. And therefore, I don't want to feed it to my dog. I'll buy some cheap food for my dog. You know, I get the those Gainsburgers, Bonzo. Whatever they offer. What is it called here?
Bonzo.
Yeah, whatever it is. Those things are pretty expensive, but anyway. And I'll feed it to my dog. Why am I going to give up on a beautiful duck, you know, or a bird of some sort, and feed it to my dog? The answer is, says Rabbi Yehuda, oh, your intention was to wait till after Shabbos and shecht it and feed it to your family and not give it to your dogs. Therefore, it's muchan liadam, but ain't a muchan liklam. So that's what we get out of these three approaches in Tosfos. But now, Rabosa, we get to the crux of the problem, and that is, how do we justify the sugya at the end of Shabbos? I'm sorry. The sugya in Chulin of an animal that shechted, that was shechted on Shabbos, why would that be Yoshev from Mitzapa? We saw Tosfos who interprets it in Chulin as referring to what? To a case we have a Chereish Shota V'Kata. And again, you're training them, and I guess you know that they're going to try to shecht on Shabbos. It's very hard to imagine the scenario, but that's what we have. So here, if you have page 7 that I gave you out today, the Vilna Gaon over here. You see that Vilna Gaon? You have to turn your page a little bit on its side. And the Vilna Gaon bases himself on a Mishnah in Masechta Beis. Let's see what we have in the Mishnah in Beis. And this is Chav Zayin on the Beis. Behema Shebeisa Lo Yazizena Mimko. An animal dies, its carcass is mukt. That's basically what the Mishnah is conveying. So the Gemara says, lema stava masnisim delo kerb shimon. Is this Mishnah against Reb Shimon? Now, by the way, if we have a stam Mishnah against Reb Shimon, that's not good news for us, because that means we pass like who? Like Reb Yehuda. That's a big chumrah mitzvah. That had tremendous repercussions straight across all the mitzvahs and everything we've been doing for a long time now. And should we say, therefore, that this Mishnah that doesn't allow you to enjoy the benefits of this carcass, you can't move it because it's mitzvah, reflects the sheet of Reb Yehuda? And Reb Shimon, by the way, it's very interesting, the Gemara here in Beitz has a different girsa of our Mishnah at the end of Shabbos. It says Reb Shimon Omer, we don't have that in our text of the Mishnah. We have a stoma, which would indicate that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, but here, it's the name of Reb Shimon appears explicitly. Reb Shimon Omer, mechachin es adlum lefnei behemos and avail lefnei klavim, meaning Reb Shimon clearly permits a carcass on Shabbos, the animal died on Shabbos, even though Reb Yehuda would say it's mukta, Reb Shimon says it's not mukta. So Gemara answers no. Afilu teva Reb Shimon, moda Reb Shimon b'malei chayim shemesu she'asurim. Oh, Reb Shimon agrees that the Baal Chayim that dies on Shabbos is mukta. Rebbe will say why? We know the answer, because we're big scholars. The answer is because we're lacking what condition? Yoshim HaMetzaber. Who predicted that the animal was good enough never, Yiskash on Shabbos? So the answer is that at this point we have no choice but to interpret the Sugyan Chulin as a Yoshim HaMetzaber situation, which means, as Tosis points out, he's got this little child that's running around waiting to shech the animal. But there's still hope. There's still light at the end of the tunnel. And this will lead us to the Vilna Gaon. The Gemara says the following. This is Sugya here in Beitza, with a parallel Sugya word for word in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Mem Hayam and Beis. Ha-Nicho Lemar Bar Amemar. We've got two Mars over here. The first Mar is the son of Amemar. The second Mar is the son of Rav Yosef. I'm a little bit more interested in the son of Rav Yosef in this case. But let's go through. Ha Nicha, this reflects the Shita of Mar Bar Neymar, who says the following, Mo de Rav Shimon b'Bali Chaim Shemesu Shasurim. Because again, Rav Yosef, what are we lacking? Yoshev Mitzaper. Rav Shimon is Mo de, there's no Yoshev Mitzaper. We saw it by Sukkah, and we saw it by the Arshad Dolik B'Shabbos, and we saw it by Bechor. El Mar Bereder of Yosef, that's my buddy. Mar Bereder of Yosef says, Kol Koy Rav Shimon Afilu B'Bali Chaim Shemesu Shehutorim. Is Mar Yikol Meimar. What are we going to do with this Mishnah that says that Baal Chai Shemesa is Mukta, the carcass is Mukta? We're going to have to be forced to say that that Mishnah is from Yehuda, and that's not happy news for us. So the Gemara says, nay, we could defend Mar Barav Yosef, right? We can defend Mar Barav Yosef's interpretation from Shimon, and the Mishnah here of Be'ema Shemesa Lo Yezen Mekom could reflect even the sheet of Rav Shimon. Why? Tergamua Ziniri Be'ema's Kotsim. Whereas the Litvax used to say Kotsim. I knew somebody used to say Gutsalis. Yeah, he's a real Lithuanian Jew. So Rav Osai, I want to raise a couple of questions. Question number one. Is it true Emes Lamita that Mar Bereder of Yosef, in Rav Shimon's frame of reference, is completely omitting the condition of Yosef and Mitzaber? If that be the case, what are we going to do with three sugyas of Rav Shimon, all of which require Yosef and Mitzaber? We're going to throw them all out. Question number two. So I grant you that this Mishnah is talking about Behemoth's Kodshim. So what? Why does Rav Shimon agree that with regard to every other behemoth alive, that's chulin, if it dies on Shabbos, and for that matter, according to the sugya chulin, if it's shechted on Shabbos, it's not mukta, and yet, in the case of behemoth's kachim, it is mukta. But my third question, which is really not a question, but more of a statement, which really leads us to the Vilna Gaon's brilliant chiddush, is that now, Tosfos and chulin is totally unnecessary. Let's go over. Tosin Kuhn wants to know if you shechted an animal on Shabbos, the meat, according to Rav Shimon, is mutter. How can it be mutter? Where's the ocean with Tzaper? And from Tosin Kuhn, we're talking about a Ricardo. According to our friend, Mar Breda Rav Yosef, we don't need Tosin's answer. Forget about Chayr Shota Ricardo. I don't need Yosef from Tzaper. That's the Vilna Gaon. Again, it'll take us an hour to go through this Vilna Gaon, but I just want to show you the punchline. It's the last line in this very long piece. Not that everything else is irrelevant for us. It's all relevant. But he says the following. The case of Shechita, he says, Toli beplukta damaroi, de pligi ali Reb Shimon bal chai shemesu. If you can underline those, it's the next to last line, those few words. And therefore the Gaon says that this whole sukkin chulim makes absolute sense according to this interpretation of Rav Shimon. So at both sides, we now have, according to the Vilna Gaon, and this is a tremendous progress in our understanding of the whole sugya book that we've been dealing with for months now. In understanding Rav Shimon, there are two different paths in understanding Rav Shimon. The well-trodden road that we're familiar with for months already is Yosef and Mitzvah. The Rav Shimon would say that entering into Shabbos, you have to tell me that you already predict, it's already anticipated that you will be able to enjoy the benefits of this. And then, says Rav Shimon, only in that condition can we break up Shabbos into two halves. The first half of which is Mutzah, the second half is Mutzah. That's one approach. And that's the approach of Ma'amar. The approach of Ma'amar of Yosef is a different one. Rav Shimon does not require Yosef of Mitzvah. He's the male of the Hamish Shachtu of Shabbos. Is the animal's mutter. You'll ask me, what about this Mishnah here? In Beit Zedav Chav Zayinam in Beis, the Mishnah says, Lo Yazizen of Behemish and Mesa, Lo Yazizen of Bekomo. That's a case of Basar Kachin. That's a very unusual case. Okay, that's the Gaon. And who could be more happy about this Gaon than myself? Because it really opens up new business here. That Rav Shimon doesn't require Yosef from Mitzvah. Which basically means Rav Shimon, let's say Muktzah, Rav Shimon says that everything is Mukhan. Rack your brains and figure out how I can enjoy the benefits of this. If there's any way, I don't care how far-fetched it is, it can be one in a million, but I can enjoy the benefits of it, then it's Mukhan and it's not Muktzah. That's Rav Shimon. We can put it perhaps in other terms. That Rav Shimon holds that you don't need the Hechiru es asher yaviu in a positive kumba, say in an active sense. All you need is that you weren't mafkia la hachana, right? That's what we call haktza v'yadayim. Or for example, Mitch, in your case of Grover's and Zimukim, he was docha v'yadayim. But in Behema, in Balichayim, he wasn't docha v'yadayim. Now, obviously, this is an attractive position. And it circumvents, according to this opinion of Rav Shimon, the whole deal of Tosfos of Chayr Shot V'Kot. And the Gaon points out that in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch, you will see that all these cases are going to be matir, and the Shulchan Aruch never qualifies. Take a look, for example, on the same page that I gave you now. It says, "Machatchin levelu me'aklovim afilu nisnavla b'hayom." Why does the Shulchan Aruch add this chiddush? He's not the Yoshim Misaper. Is the answer is, says the Gaon, that the Shulchan Aruch is embracing the Shita of Mar Bar Rav Yosef in Rav Shimon. Let's say, you don't need Yoshim Misaper, so you have a healthy animal. But what are we going to do with all these sugyas that we've piled up? Are we going to tell us, and this could be one approach, that none of those sugyas cut ice, that are all to be left out and excluded, because they shalom ka'alacha? They all reflect the first shita in the Gemara Beitza and in Shabbos of Mar Bar Amemar. Okay. For Rabosai, what we want to do at this point is to try to understand the Chiddush of Rabbeir Simcha Midvin Slior Sameach, which is also reflected in the words of the Chazon Ish. But I warn you, Rabosai, we're really getting onto a roller coaster here. Because the approach of Rabbeir Simcha and the Chazon Ish is going to have to be reconciled with everything that we've been doing for the last few months, and that's not going to be easy. How many of you may have the page that I left on the stender there? And if you have it, it should be page Kuf Gimel. You see that? And it's the second paragraph on Kuf Gimel. If anyone needs a copy, I have one extra copy here on Kuf Gimel. And Rabbosai, my goal in the few minutes that we have is to whet your appetite about this Arsamech / Chazadish and to raise a few questions, and I'd like you to think about them in the days to come. Okay? So just by show of hands, how many people have this Kuf Gimel? You have it? Only 3 or 4 people. All right, I'm sorry, I apologize. Oh, here's some more. She's still a bit. Okay. So this is taken from the Otzer HaYunim on the Sefer Shabbos, one of the 7 volumes. And he says the following. Second paragraph, the end of the first line. Rak legabe e'atzei sukkah. Only in the case of Atzei Sukkah, you don't have it? Kuf Gimel. Does it say Kuf Gimel on the top?
Yeah.
Second paragraph, the end of the first line. You have it?
Yeah.
Rak, sherak, it should say. Yeah. If you want to underline that, you can underline that. Here's a pen. You have it. Yeah. I have such a knack for losing pens. I tell you this. Every day, I lost another one. Anyway. Rak legabe Atzei Sukkah. Oh, right, the Sugyan Sukkah of Yoshe Mitzaf is based on the Achlamet of the Beis, we've seen it. But only in that case. Amru Shemod Rab Shimon Kishe'eno Yoshe Mitzaf Shimon. Okay, so now what we thought was the rule becomes the exception to the rule. Only in the case of Sukkah does Rab Shimon require Yoshe Mitzaf. So Rav Bosa, now rack your brains and figure out why Sukkah is the exception to the rule when we've been Pasha training ourselves, and I didn't do this deliberately. I was an honest bedover. I was shocking at least, if not honest. But I always thought that Sukkah is the paradigm. The Gemara says it not only by Sukkah, the Gemara says by Ner Shedolik, the Gemara repeats it by Bechor, it's over and over and over again. And Farket, I thought that they grow us in Tzimukim, even though there's some feasibility somewhere under some sun that the sun would beat down so hot and it would speed up the process, and all of a sudden the middle of Shabbos, lo and behold, I've got dried figs or raisins that are edible. But I thought that since there was a Dechiyah B'Yadayim, so that Dechiyah B'Yadayim will carry me through. That's what I thought was the Yisoda Yisodas Rav Shimon. No, Sukkah is the exception to the rule. Why? Kavan, if you could underline the next few words, Kavan Shesibas Haktzah Eino Rak Machmas Iser Shabbos. Friends, help me here, because I'm mamish. This is, I'm falling apart. This is antithetical to everything we've been building up. Let me ask you the following question. Give me a knee-jerk response. Which is more chomer? If the Iser Shabbos prevents you from enjoying the benefits of this object, this foodstuff, or whatever it is, or if some other extraneous Iser prevents you from enjoying it, which would be more l'chumra?
Shabbos,
no? In fact, we never studied the Magen Avraham, but the Magen Avraham is going to have a whole deal about Shatnez, where the Shatnez is mutz on Shabbos, because it's mutz machas Iser. And those who would make you and say if you have a negative shatness, you can sit on it, whatever you like to do on it, based on the Isurim of shatness, and it's not mukta, it's because shatness is not an Isur Shabbos. Or alternatively, if you remember the Ramban that we spent a lot of time on, I photocopied the Ramban for you, which is in Beitza Chaf Amad Aleph Bidape Arif. I don't know if you were here when we did that Ramban. I think that was your first visit. The Ramban says that Tevel is not mukta. Why is Tevel ben Amuchan? Because Tevel is not an Iser Shabbos. And the Rabban gives you a whole list of all the cases of Mukta Machmas Iser, and they're all forbidden because of Shabbos. For example, Mechubar, like you mentioned before, Daniel, you're not allowed to cut down Mechubar, that's an Iser Shabbos. For example, Ner Shedolik is an Iser Kibui on Shabbos. For example, he talks about Mos, Al Gabi Amita, that's also an Iser Shabbos. So we are under the impression that if you had a choice between Isurei Shabbos and Isurei Kol HaTorah Kula, which engendered a more serious Mokta problem, we certainly would have stretched our arm out and chosen the case of Isurei Shabbos. And here Rabbi Sarai, Pung Faker, as we say in Yiddish, everything is topsy-turvy. And he says the following. If Sibas HaKtso, again, I'm going back to the words that you underlined. If there's Sibas HaKtso, Ein Rak Machmas Isur Shabbos, if there's no extraneous non-Shabbos reason that prevents me from enjoying it, it's purely Shabbos, then we can eat. Even if what? There's no Yoshim Misah. So for example, what prevents me from enjoying this live animal when I enter into Shabbos? You spoke about it, right? Shechita. That's a Shabbos problem. His Rav Shimon says, somebody shechted it, you can eat the meat. There's no mukta. Why? Because I don't need Yoshif Mitzapa. And why don't I need Yoshif Mitzapa according to this day? Because the only thing that prevents me from enjoying this foodstuff, in the case of an animal that was shechted, was the Isur Shechita. It's only a Shabbos Isur. Not so in the case of Sukkah. Sukkah is the exception to the rule. Why? Af Bechol, please underline this, Ein Atzei HaSukkah Omdim LaHaSukkah. Forget about Shabbos. Sunday to Friday, the same thing would prevent. What prevents me from enjoying the benefits of this, of these trees, of these beams, I should say, the wood that was used to build the sukkah? Correct. Huktzel Mitzvah. Huktzel Mitzvah makes the Defanos of sukkah, maybe the Schach of sukkah. I would say Schach of sukkah, the Kolshke, maybe even the Noy of sukkah. We have to know about that. Into mukta, but not a mukta that's related to Shabbos. What prevents me, the barrier that prevents me from enjoying the benefits for my personal use of these beams, is sukkah, and that applies the whole week long. In such a case, I need what? I need Yoshev. When I enter into Shabbos and something is mukta because of the state of being that applies the entire week, then Reb Shimon says, I need Yoshev Mitzah. And that's only in the case of Sukkah Re'uah, but not in the case of Sukkah Brihu. What are you going to do with Ner Shedolik? What are you going to do with Bechar? Oh, Bechar is not bad. Bechar, I think I know where he's taking us. In the case of Bechar, Mitzad Atzman, Eino Omid L'Tashmish. What prevents me from enjoying the benefit of this Bechar?
Is it Bechar?
Kedushas Bechar. It's Hedish. Whether it's Kedushas Peh or not, or just Kedushas Leda, they'll also give it Dor, but whatever it is, there's Kedushas Aguf. It's Bechar L'Kachim. And that's exactly the Gemara of Tirgumah that we saw in Beitza. Tirgumah is the Iri, the Behemoth Kachim. Rav Shimon would agree that there's no such thing as Yoshev Mitzapeh when I am prevented from enjoying object X by an Easter that applies the whole week long. It's not a uniquely Shabbistic Easter, like for example, Sukkah or Bechar. What about Ner Shedolik B'Shabbos? There too, Rav Shimon says, you need Yoshev Mitzapeh. Ukemo Ner Shedolik. That's all he gives us. A little bit stingy here at this point. Short stick. Nothing much to grab onto here. Ner Shedolik? What's your issue with Ner Shedolik? Is there some other Isur in Ner Shedolik that I just forgot about? Ner Shedolik is a Shabbos Isur. Unless he's saying something really wild. I'm afraid to say this, Rabbi Osset, Dog Fetishka. That what he means by Ner Shabbos is that there's a universal halacha that I'm not allowed to benefit from a Heftzah Shel Mitzvah. It's derived from Sukkah, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Tes, which is you remember Lashem in Chagiga. But now it expands to incorporate every single Heftzah of the Mitzvah. So by the way, I was at a wedding recently and I saw somebody who was dancing in front of the chasim with his tzitzis as he was wearing them. I wanted to pop him over the head because that's a busy mitzvah. You know, a chassan is a great mitzvah, but you can't use a cheftishon mitzvah. You don't want to take off the tzitzis chavcha, at least if you would have taken off his tzitzis. That he wasn't willing to do. You know? In any event, why does the Ner Shel Shabbos become a cheftishon mitzvah? Because of Shabbos. But it's irrelevant. my Iser to enjoy the Ner Shabbos now takes on a universal complexion. It reflects the character of Ner Shemitzvah, no matter what that mitzvah is. And even though the excuse or the background for this mitzvah is Shabbos, the Iser itself is not a Shabbos Iser. It means that Ner Shabbos is not different than any other Chatzal mitzvah that, since it's designated for a mitzvah, becomes Chutzal mitzvah. So, and we had a long discussion, if you remember when we first started, why the Gemara used that two Lushonos, Chutzal mitzvah, so Chutzal Isuro. And now I understand that according to Rabbi Simcha, the Gemara have been satisfied with Chutzal Isuro. Then Rav Shimon would say that, you know what? I don't need Yoshef and Metzapin. Even Ashishus and Kosis should be mutter if it goes out in the middle of Shabbos. Like an animal that was shechted in the middle of Shabbos. It was unpredictably, unanticipated. But the answer is, it's not just Huktzah L'Isuro, it's also Huktzah L'Mitzvah. So it takes on the universal complexion of the Iser of Chefter Hamyuchah Mitzvah, and a Chefter Shal Mitzvah calls mine, it's being used for a mitzvah. I'm not talking about Tzitzit Shabalu, you know, after you throw out your tzitzit, then you can do whatever you want with them, use it to clean your teeth, although our meaning is to put it into Gneza, but that's a very frum thing to do, if you like to go that road. But technically, it's no longer Miyuchah L'Mitzvah. Ner Shedolik V'Shabbos, as long as it's Dolik, it's Miyuchah L'Mitzvah. Strip it of its complexion as a Shabbos Isur, because it's not engendered by Shabbos, it's engendered by the fact that it was designated for Mitzvah. And therefore, says the Ar Sameach, Rav Shimon waives the requirement of Yoshef V'Sapin. I'm sorry, just the opposite. I made a mistake. Therefore, Rav Shimon requires Yoshef Mitzvah. So again, let's go over it. When there's an additional Iser, a source of Iser that prevents me from enjoying the benefit of object X, whatever it might be, other than Shabbos, when I can classify that Iser under a different category of Shari, Suri, Torah, and it's not Shabbos, then Rav Shimon admits that it's Mukta, unless Yoshef Mitzvah. But if all I have that prevents me and sets a barrier from enjoying the object is only what? An Iser Shabbos? Then, and this is the statement of Mar of Yosef, in two places in Shas, Rav Shimon says it's not Mukta, even if what? Even if you're not Yosef and Mitzvah. Therefore, we come full circle back to Behema, Shemesa, the Shabbos. What prevents me from enjoying this Behema? Shabbos. Iser Shchit and Shabbos. Now, Daniel, I'm waiting for your question. Teros Mechubarim. What prevents me from enjoying Teros Mechubarim? Only Shabbos! The pears are absolutely ripe and tasty. There's nothing deficient in here. The only thing that's barriering me, if there's such a verb, is what? Is Shabbos, these are Shabbos of Katsira. And yet the Gemara says that Rav Shimon is Moda in the case of Peiros Mechubarim and that Mukta. Rebbeinu Shalom, according to the Chazon Ish and Rav Meir Simcha, why would Rav Shimon be Moda in Peiros Mechubarim? Somebody decided, maybe a guy, to cut down these fruits on Shabbos, and the Gemara says they're Mukta. And Rashi here goes very far out. Rashi equates Peres Mechubarim with Krokus Vitzimukim. Why? You're telling me that's the only thing that prevents me from enjoying the benefits of this object. The object is gorgeous. It's wonderful. It's functional. It's edible. It's attractive. But I've got a Shabbos, albatross over my head. You're telling me then it's Roy? It's Roy, and therefore it's Mukhan, it's not Mukhan, going to Rav Shimon, except for one problem. You need Yoshim and Tzapim. You don't need Yoshim and Tzapim because it's only Shabbos that prevents you. What about Paris Mechubarim? And I think that, Mitch, you'll be happy with, if my answer is correct, that the answer is that Paris Mechubarim, according to Rashi, this is the Beis Yosef, is the Chiyah B'Yadayim. And Rashi says something so strange. Rashi says, you passed by these pears. You saw that they were beautiful, they were ripe. Why didn't you take the effort of cutting them down before Shabbos? Says Rashi, again, I'm going to translate it into my words, you made a deliberate decision not to omit the ktsir of these pears. That's called the Chiyuv Yadayim. And that's exactly how the Tosfos Yeshayahu interprets Rashi. That's how the Beis Yosef interprets Rashi. Now follow what we're saying here now. Does Rav Shimon require Yoshev and Mitzvah? Roman numeral number one. According to Mar Bar Meimar, he always requires Yoshev and Mitzvah. Roman numeral number two. According to Mar Bar Rav Yosef, it depends. If what prevents me from enjoying the benefits of this object is the isur of some sort of universal nature, for example, we said Ne'er Mitzvah, or for example, we talked about Kedushas Bechar, we talked about the case of Sukkah, which is Lashem, it's going to be designated for God and you can't enjoy it for your benefits. In all those cases, Rav Shimon requires Yoshin for Mitzvah. However, if what prevents you from enjoying the benefits of this object is purely Easter Shabbos alone, then, for some unknown reason, Rav Shimon drops the requirement of Yoshin for Mitzvah, and therefore Behem Shemesim Shabbos, even though what prevented me was the Easter Shechita, but since it was only the Easter Shechita and only Shabbos, therefore Rav Shimon drops the requirement of Yoshin for Mitzvah, and the animal, after it dies, according to Rav Shimon, in the perspective of Mar Bar Rav Yosef, is Mutter. What are we going to do with Paris Mechubarim? Now we have to add Roman numeral number 3, or we'll call it 2b, or whatever you want to call it. Namely, that Mar Bar Rav Yosef would allow, according to Rav Shimon, suspending these Mukta even without Yoshe from itself. If the only barrier is Shabbos, but only on one condition, that you weren't a Docha B'Yadayim. If you actively were Maxa something B'Yadayim, you decided to throw it out, it's not for me, then it's impossible to call it Mukhan, because Mukhan is either inherent in the object, or alternatively, it could be related to the Gavra. But if it's not at all related to the Gavra, if there's no possibility of accepting, approving the Hachana that's inherent in the object, because the Gavra himself, the owner of the object, has repelled and rejected that Hachana, then ball game over, there's nothing to talk about. It's absolutely Mukta, even according from Shimon, and we have to apply that in two cases. Number one, in Grogers with Tzimukim, even though all of a sudden the sun came out, beat it down on the roof, I've got wonderful figs, I've got wonderful raisins, nevertheless it's mostly because I was Docha B'Yadayim. And number two, the Chiddush of Rashi, that Peros Mechubarim is considered the Chiyo B'Yadayim. Now both sides, do you like it? I don't like it. And I'll tell you why. Because Peros Mechubarim is also the Chiyo B'Yadayim, and Behema Shin Lo Nishchita is also the Chiyo B'Yadayim. What the heck is the difference between Peros Mechubarim and Behema Shin Nishchita B'Shabbos? You want to tell me Peros Mechubarim says Rashi is the Chiyo B'Yadayim? Why didn't you cut down those fruits before Shabbos? I'm going to ask you, why didn't you shech this animal before Shabbos? Ah, I didn't have a shechita. Shochet. Okay, so I didn't have a worker who would cut down my payrolls. Come on! Give it a break! So I got to some point here in Rav Meir Simcha and the Chazon Ish where I was very excited, but at this point I have to drop it and hope that Hashem Yirachim, Hashem Yoyrei, maybe in the next 2 days, because my next year is on Wednesday, and tomorrow we'll talk about dogs if you like, but why is it that there's a difference here between Peros Mechubarim, and we tried to shup in the Rashi about Aseh Midaite, Aseh Adaite, why don't you cut down these Peros? In the case of Behema, Baal Chai also had the option of shechting the animal on the Shabbos. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop here. Anyone who wants to stick around, I'm here. What do you
mean?
I don't know. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I thought you
I didn't be. Recognize you.
It's sudden, it's sudden.
Oh my goodness. It's so shrill.
I know your brother.
Yeah. No, no, you don't. Know, Moshe.
Moshe, but wait, but who's married? Who's a land in college grad? That's your brother?
No, my brother-in-law. Yeah, brother.
Your brother-in-law. Yeah. Right, your brother-in-law. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm getting it. Wow.
Sorry? You got to go back to Lop Luke.
Which level are you talking about now?
Rashi's as well as the Chiyo B'Yadayim. And even though the goys knew couldn't cut it down.
I was thinking that maybe the case, in the case of the Chet is done with the goy. Maybe there's enough because the goy was involved.
It's perfect.
I started thinking in my mind, that a goy that can
that go.
That's what I was getting on the similar lines in my mind.
Tomorrow,
we're
talking about a day or two.
Okay. I've got another problem. The Rambam. Maybe. The Rambam doesn't mean Chibi ever says, he's avoided the Rambam all the way through.